Com today.
Equal housing lender, member of FDIC.
Welcome in to Vern's Post Game Show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
3-1, the final score. Royals lose, fall short of finishing off this sweep in San Francisco, and boy, did that happen quick. Guys are counting down how many outs are left until the Royals walk away victorious, and you turn around for 5 seconds, and boom, a 1-0 lead that you never felt comfortable with. Now, Chris Bubich certainly looked comfortable with that one-run lead. Shoot, Chris Bubich looked comfortable the moment he stepped on the mound today. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. And we'll get to the loss, right? I think there's a lot to dissect in these nine innings in this 3-1 loss, but, well, I think we got to start with Chris Bubich, right? Or do I start with the loss? You know, I believe you start with the 25-year-old lefty who just went out there and matched a career high by striking out nine and spun six innings of two-hit baseball for a team that has been so lost when it comes to finding a Robin to Brady Singer's Batman. When you look at that 2018 draft class, we all hoped that two well above average starting pitchers would come from that pitcher heavy draft class. Now, Brady Singer has answered all the questions, has answered a lot of questions. Hasn't played in a big September game, hasn't played in a big August game yet, let alone a postseason game. But you've been looking for that other young arm to go alongside Brady Singer that you say, yes, we have you this year, the year after that, and the year after that. Someone that you can put in the mix with Bobby, with MJ, with Salvi, with Finney, someone else on the hill that you can put in that core alongside Brady Singer. So when you see this performance from Chris Bubich, nine strikeouts, a career-high 18 swings and misses, everything working, and I mean everything. He's getting them with his changeup, of course, the fastball, sure, the curveball, okay, putting dudes away with the slider as well. I think that's the big story of this game. You let me know. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. But it might be the loss. Let's not pretend as if what we've seen over this first week and a half of the season leads you to believe that this ball club's so very good they can let eighth inning leads slip through their fingers. After that first week hole they dug themselves, they had a real opportunity to climb out. As folks are heading back to work tomorrow, driving home after a family get-together, to hear that the Royals just swept the San Francisco Giants would force you to go, okay, you got me again, I'll be back. I'll be dialed in Monday night when Zach Greinke takes the hill for the first of three against the Texas Rangers. Okay, I'm back in. Right, only 10 games into the season, we better remain concerned with wins and losses. Why not? 10 games in, you're telling me we can't dream of a postseason berth, a wild card chase, a division title? Let's not act like any of us have this game figured out at all. We've seen worst to first. We've seen teams come out of nowhere to make it to this now expanded postseason. So what is the story? Is it the loss, or is it the sensational six frames that we saw from Chris Bubich? 913-586-7610. Again, I can see both sides. You start looking at the loss, 1-0 Royals lead after 4. 1-0 Royals lead after 6. Precarious, no question. But when you get a leadoff man on in the 7th, a leadoff double in the 8th, and your leadoff man on in the 9th, you would like to think a team that's going to be, in my opinion, led by its young offense, you'd like to think that they could scratch one of those leadoff hits across. You'd like to think that someone could, you know, Nicky Lopez, a leadoff double in the 8th. Jackie Bradley Jr. goes down on 3 pitches, does not square to bunt. Jackie Bradley Jr., if my math is correct, has a grand total of 7 sacrifices in his 11 seasons. Okay, so maybe not the right guy to hope squares to bunt there in the 8th. Nonetheless, he goes down swinging. MJ Melendez flies out to center, and Bobby Witt Jr., along with Franmil Reyes, both of them striking out in big spots with a runner in scoring position to give Bubich and Hernandez and Yarbrough to give them a little bit of breathing room. Both Franmil Reyes and Bobby Witt Jr. go down swinging with 2 outs and a man in scoring position. So maybe it is the loss. That's 4-6. Feels a lot better than 3-7. Either way, this weekend serves as a nice reset, a nice reminder of how quickly things can change in this beautiful game, right? Text line, let me know if I'm right on that one. Right. We all needed this series win. You'd like to end the series with a win, especially on a Sunday. I don't know if that's just me. But I know when I'm listening to Fesco in the morning on Monday, I want them hype. I want them excited for Royals baseball. Winning on a Sunday normally helps with that, helps jumpstart your work week. But nonetheless, the boys take 2 of 3. We all needed it, no doubt. But has it served as a reminder for you? Because it has for me. I've been humbled quite a bit over the first 10 games. Humbled regarding the freakout I had on the last homestand. That just got away from me, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I meant it. I stand by what I said. I could have presented it in a more professional manner. And then also, this coaching staff has impressed me in a number of facets that I, at times, dismiss. We'll discuss that further. We got to give love to the pitching staff, Chris Bubich, Carlos Hernandez, the new coaching staff. A lot to get into with Chris Bubich's 6 innings of 2-hit baseball. He doesn't walk a batter. Only walked 1 in his debut. There's a lot that goes into what we've seen from Chris Bubich, but I keep coming back to this same question regarding the 25-year-old left-hander. Now, there's no debating. This was the best start of his career. Now, he's done all these things before. He's gone 6 scoreless before. He's allowed only 2 hits before. He struck out 9 before. But to do it all in the same game, also set a career high with 18 swings and misses. To do it all in one afternoon in San Francisco, I think it's fair to say this is the best start of Chris Bubich's career. But is that all it is? Is this just a day he'll remember 20 years from now of, man, we went back home again, pitched in front of friends and family, Easter Sunday, and I took a no-hitter into the 5th inning. As a matter of fact, I've taken a no-hitter into the 5th inning. I did so in my first 2 trips to San Francisco. Is this just a memory, or is this now, maybe not the expectation, 6 innings of shutout baseball, but is this the beginning of something big for Bubich? Only time will tell. Only execution and consistency will prove it out. But as I'm known to say, it's got to start somewhere. We've known Bubich has above average ability, a well above average heart and mind, competition and fortitude. Off the charts. But can you do it every 5th day? Can you give your team a chance to win every 5th day? We've seen him have a nice month. We've seen him have nice stretches. How about a nice season? Would be big for this 2023 Royals team, would be even larger for this organization. Again, the phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Text line there as well, 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 3-1 loss to the San Francisco Giants are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Quick timeout. We get to your thoughts right after this.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
Vinny's at second, two down. No score here in the top of the fourth inning. The pitch and a swing and a hard hit liner to left field. Over to plate is Ramos. Vinny is going to be waved around third. Here comes the throw home. It is late, and Vinny scores, standing up on a RBI base hit to left by Salvador Perez. He drives in his fifth run of the year, and Salvi stays red hot.
Steve Stewart, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio, puts the Royals on the board in the fourth. That's the only time they would get on the board. Giants would score three in the eighth inning off of Ryan Yarbrough and steal one from the boys in blue. 3-1 the final score. Royals take the series and now take their behinds to Texas to take on the Rangers. Greinke, Lyles, Keller in the three-game series for the good guys. Andrew Heaney, Jacob deGrom, and Nate Eovaldi for the Rangers. Eovaldi, another one of those names I was eyeing this offseason. Would have liked the Royals to go out and grab him. We saw Sean Manaea yesterday. Hey, nonetheless, whatever. We don't want to get into what they could have done, how much money it would have taken, whatever. Royals lose 3-1. I'm trying to decipher what the fan base believes is the top story. Is it bottom line? They lost. No, Vern, don't give me any of this flowery BS. We've seen Bubich good before, Vern. You know, save it. Royals lost. They lost a bunch at Kauffman Stadium. Let me know when they're 500. Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong if that's your mindset right now. You've been through a lot since that championship run in 2015. Now, my initial thoughts, my belief is the story of this game today is Chris Bubich. The fact that he just spun what is likely the best outing of his career. I'm not making any more of it. I'm not saying he's now 10, 11 strikeout per nine guy. Nine punchouts today in six innings. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that Chris Bubich is going to have a 2023 like we saw Brady Singer have a 2022. I'm not going there. Everything that Chris Bubich did, well, almost everything that Chris Bubich did today, you and I knew he was capable of. In fact, a lot of the things he did today, we've seen him do it before. But we've never seen it all like this. Never. But I can't promise you that he'll ever have the command of those four pitches like he did today. Real quick, is MJ Melendez balling behind the dish? Guys, I'm pretty sure MJ stole that third strike from Wilmer Flores in the sixth inning. I saw the numbers have been reflecting quite well on MJ Melendez, and watching this game with my untrained eye looked like he had another solid day behind the dish. But I think that Chris Bubich is the story today and is now a big storyline moving forward. We'll see Bubich back at Kauffman Stadium when the team returns next weekend. You would think he would start Saturday against the Atlanta Braves. Boy, that's a daunting task. But if you want to be put in that same category as Brady Singer, go stare down the Atlanta Braves. Because that's what Brady did last year. Brady took on the Dodgers and the Rays and the White Sox and the Yankees and the Guardians and took care of them all. Held his own against them all. Outstanding start to the season from Chris Bubich. Outstanding. Keep it up. Let's see this in June. Now, you're going to have clunkers mixed in there. Even Brady Singer had clunkers last year. But let's see the consistency. Got to talk about this coaching staff. Chris Bubich deserves the lion's share of the praise. But the way that this coaching staff has come around these young arms, I mean, Bubich has been in the league now, is his fourth season in the big leagues. I should stop calling him a young arm. But the way that this coaching staff has injected confidence into so many of these arms that needed a jolt of confidence, arms that have been arms that feel unheard over the past few seasons. Whether we're talking Daniel Lynch or Brad Keller or Chris Bubich, when they would present ideas in the past, maybe those ideas weren't received, digested, absorbed by the previous coaching staff, implemented by the previous coaching staff. Maybe they fell on deaf ears. Bubich wants to throw this. The coaching staff isn't really buying it. Doesn't give Bubich the most confidence, and we don't see him throw the pitch in games. Now, I do have an internal struggle with that to a certain extent. I can't blame it all on the coach. It's your career. If you want to throw this pitch, you think it's going to help you and your career, well, then go out there and do it. To hell with whatever the coaching staff's saying. But now, when you present your ideas of how you want a game plan against this Giants lineup, instead of the game plan being what gets them out, the game plan is now, what do I do well? What do I feel comfortable with? So when Bubich brings up his ideas, desires when it comes to a game plan, those are being absorbed, appreciated, implemented. Oh, you want to throw that? That's a good idea. Here's how we can use it. That fills a young man up with confidence. When I'm not worried about losing my spot in the rotation, maybe getting yanked off the mound if I deviate from the game plan. When you have the type of coaching that it appears this Royals pitching staff just may have, it can allow a young arm to tap into whether it's a new pitch or just another level of confidence. It can take you to another level. I mean, how many times have you and I had conversations about Chris Bubich and we marvel at the tenacity, at the guts, at the heart that he shows. Or even if he doesn't have it early on, man, you got to rip that guy off of the mound. He's going to stay out there and fight for his teammates. It's been very obvious that Chris Bubich has the heart and the mind to compete at the highest level. Now to get the kind of support, the kind of mental boost, the kind of support, again, that's the key word, the type of support it appears these guys are getting. That's encouraging. That makes me excited for this weekend and what he does against the Atlanta Braves. So I ask you, what is the headline in your world? What is the headline from this 3-1 loss to the San Francisco Giants? Is it the best performance of Chris Bubich's life, or is it the 7th loss in the first 10 games? 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Let's go to CJ in Kansas City. CJ, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, thanks for taking my call, man. Yes, I need some therapy, man. Thanks, my man. Man, I'm pretty just frustrated, man. I'm actually peed off, man. Like you said, man, 3 wins out of 7 out of the 10 games, and we keep on talking about pitching. That's not even the problem. And these bats, man, when we're going to start talking about the real problem? Vern, you taught us all a long time ago. I've been listening to you for over 10 years now, man. there's a thing called run count, man, that keeps on being low. And it's going to be low this year again if we can't get some runs on the board. Yeah. And we spent a week, it seemed like, just trying to get the first run. Got that, still lost because we didn't get enough. Pitching still did a good job. We got that. I'm looking at the scores across the league. 4 runs, 6 runs, 9 runs. And here the Royals are again with some good pitching, not backing it up. And we had this conversation 4 years ago, and it's starting to become the same thing, man. Hey, man, pitching is not the problem. And you started your show off with a great intro. What's the problem? What's the story? Hey, man, the story is definitely another loss. And it's not nothing about bad pitching. It's great pitching. Thanks, Boobies, for another great game. And you just had another great game, and you're doing great. Pitching is not the problem. It's these bats that are not getting nobody home. We don't have no bats. That's our problem, man. Vern, I love your work, man. Thanks for everything you do. Not nothing bad about the athletes out there on the field. But us as fans who are commentating and talking about in our groups and thinking about this great game, let's be realistic. I know baseball is about pitching, but let's really see what's going on, my fellow brothers and sisters that are fans of Kansas City baseball. It's not the pitching, it's the problem. It's not coaching. Don't hear none of that from my friends. And I'm, you know, at you all's job, I love List 16. I do it all the time. We're going to be, you know, talking about all this stuff. But let's get really realistic. Pitching is not the problem. We got to get run count up.
No doubt. Burn. No, you're 100% right, CJ. I appreciate the support over the years. Royals, 27 runs scored through the first 10 games, tied with the Marlins for fewest runs per game in the big leagues. Look, no question. And I appreciate you bringing it up. I'm certainly not trying to dodge the topic. The Salvador Perez comes through with a 2-out knock with a man in scoring position. I mean, that's exactly what I was screaming about. Right when I lost it after one of those Blue Jay games where I apologize for it earlier. But yeah, I lost it. Just blacked out on the post-game show after a Blue Jays game because after the game, I forgot who it was, but they were giving all the credit to Alek Manoah and talking about how he's a number one, and he is, no doubt. But I like to think that the Royals have some number ones. And the majority of the Royals' number ones are in their lineup. So I think this team needs to be led by its stars, needs to be led by its offense. Now, I hope I'm wrong. Maybe this is a team that's going to be led by pitching. Following today's 6 innings of shutout baseball from Chris Bubich, the Royals' rotation now has an ERA of 3.29. That's top 5 in baseball. In fact, only the Rays, Twins, and Dodgers are getting more innings per start than the Royals right now. Only the Rays, Twins, Dodgers, and Yankees have a lower team ERA than the Royals. Royals have played 10 games. All those other squads I mentioned have played only 9. So look, maybe this rotation's better than I'm giving it credit for or have ever given it credit for. But it remains my belief, and I'll change if I need to, if the evidence is overwhelming. But we're 10 games in, and I still believe, yes, CJ, this team needs to be led by its offense. You need to have your core four have good years, above average years, and then you're going to need a few surprises. You need MJ, Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi to have good years and give me a few surprises elsewhere in the lineup. Do that, and I think we could have a very entertaining summer. But when you find yourself in a big game, in a big spot, facing an Alek Manoah, I need my number ones to step up. Bobby and MJ did not do that. Combined to go 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position in that game against Toronto. Today, low scoring affair, pitcher's duel. Salvi comes through. Man on second, 2 outs. Salvi gets the job done, hits it at 113 miles per hour down the left field line for an RBI. Royals had other opportunities. The Royals' number ones had opportunities. MJ Melendez comes to the dish with 1 out and a man on second in the eighth inning flies out to center field. Bobby Witt Jr. comes to the dish, two outs, man in scoring position. Royals are up 1-0 at this time. You have a chance to give the bullpen a little bit of breathing room, and Bobby chases a 2-2 slider. So the Royals ones had opportunities today, just unable to come through. Now, listen, I'm not acting as if I expect MJ and Bobby and Salvi and Vinny to come through every single time. Not at all. No, come on. But big moments, when it's your best versus their best, yeah, I'm going to hold Bobby, MJ, Vinny, Salvi to a higher standard. Same thing I'm going to do with Brady Singer. Third time through the lineup, Brady, I need you to mow him down. CJ, thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. I don't know if you guys heard what Paul Hoover said after the game, but he called the bullpen the strength of the team. Now, I hope he's right. But to me, a bullpen can only be a strength if you have an above-average rotation. And look, again, 10 games in, Royals have an above-average rotation, which allows your bullpen to thrive. And as we discussed on the On Deck Show earlier today, the duo at the back end, Barlow and Aroldis Chapman, is probably top 10 in all of Major League Baseball. Is that going to continue? If so, well, then you know what? I can be patient with this offense. Shoot, I'm not worried. Listen, if this is the real rotation, they're going to eat up innings like this and pitch like this and allow this bullpen to rest like this? Well, then we need, then CJ, don't worry about the offense. The offense will come around. This pitching keeps up. Things are going to be just fine around these parts, in my opinion. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. It's also the text line number, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Big T and Shawnee. Big T, go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Yeah, happy Easter to you, your family, and everybody out there. Well put, Vern. CJ, yes. Did you listen to Vern? Pitching. What, Vern, last year, what did we talk about? You said, everybody out there, the question, are you willing to let Chris Bubich in?
Right. And, oh, are you asking me? Not yet.
No, but that was the thing all last year.
Yeah, can he make it into the core with Brady, with Bobby, with the rest? And that's what I'm excited about, Big T, because this was the best he's ever been. If this starts to become routine, well then, yeah, he's following a very similar path to Brady Singer.
He could be our, yes, and we need that. And that's important because six innings today, no walks, tied a career high strike. He was a joy to watch. It won because of Chris Bubich. You're right. We need more offense. But look, the other team only had three ones. They only had five hits. But boy, the victory would have tasted a lot better, and the sweep would have been a lot better if they would have got that dub today, Vern. A shout out to my Aunt Mary and Uncle Jim. You know them. Heck Bloody yeah. Mary Bar and Brunch up there, Vern. They told me to tell you hi. Nice. Keep up the great work. But Vern, I want to ask you this other question. Now, when Nicky got the double, and then Bradley came up, would you have pitch hit for Bradley for Oliveris, or what do you think there, Vern?
Interesting. Big T, thanks for the phone call.
I appreciate you. Thanks, Vern.
Yeah, because you got a lefty on lefty with Taylor Rogers out there. Would I have brought in Edward Oliveris? Listen, you could tell by my reaction that I wasn't thinking that. So you know, I never like to use the benefit of hindsight and act like I'm managing so easy. So, no, I wasn't thinking it at the time. You want to talk about Olivares. I wanted Olivares in the lineup over Franmil Reyes. That's where I'm at with Ollie. But I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking hit the ball to the right side, advance him to third base. But, hey, listen, fine idea. You know, bat-to-ball skills, you have to think that Ollie would have put the bat on the ball, right? Jackie Bradley Jr. goes down swinging through a slider. For those that missed the game, 1-0 Royals, top of the eighth inning, Nicky Lopez rips a double down the right field line. Jackie Bradley goes down swinging, does not advance him to third. And then, as I mentioned a moment ago, Melendez flies out to center and Bobby Witt Jr. strikes out swinging. Royals lose 3-1. Still, they win the series, and now they head to Texas to take on the Rangers. Nice little pitching matchup the next few nights. Zach Greinke against Andrew Heaney tomorrow night, 7:05 for the first pitch. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. And then Tuesday night, Jordan Lyles and Jacob DeGrom meet up as a pair of big-time free agent signings square off in the Lone Star State. Let me go through a few of these text messages real quick. From the 620, Vern, is Ryan Yarbrough a high-leverage reliever for us? I thought he was more a long relief guy. He was a poor choice to throw the eighth. And yes, that was the best Bubich start of his career. High leverage, sure. These were high-leverage spots. Aroldis Chapman wasn't going to be used tonight. Scott Barlow's likely only going to be used to lock it down in the ninth inning to finish off a save. I wouldn't put him as one of the top three. Let me put it this way. If we're going to hand out save opportunities, Ryan Yarbrough, I wouldn't expect to be a top four option. Right. Barlow, Chapman, you saw Taylor Clark yesterday. Amir Garrett, Carlos Hernandez came in to face Jock Peterson and Lamont Wade. That was a pretty big spot there in the seventh inning. No, there's just not enough swing and miss from Ryan Yarbrough that you're going to put him in there in, big spots. But you like him lefty on lefty. And I understand a left-hander hit what turned out to be the game-winning two-run home run off of him. But keep in mind, that was the first hit of the season for Michael Conforto against a lefty. Yeah, Yarbrough's certainly not going to overpower anyone. Not going to hit 90 miles per hour all that often. He was one of your three pitchers that you signed this offseason, him, Chapman, and Jordan Lyles. I asked the team, you got to sign us three pitchers, and they did, and they're going to use them. If I was going to come up, I'm not going to do the totem pole right now. He is also long relief, right? He can go multiple innings. You saw him go an inning and a third, but so can Taylor Clark. I just feel as if some of the old school descriptions for relievers have really fallen by the wayside. Right? Tampa used to call Ryan Yarbrough their bulk guy. It's long here and there, but sometimes it's a pressurized situation. Sometimes it's an opener. The guy can do a little bit of everything. Few more from the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. The Rally Mantis wants to know who Ryan Yarbrough is. Don't even know who he is. All right. Copper writes in, Vern, it felt like the injury to Hernandez hurt the Royals more than anything. A thin bullpen gets thinner. Wish they would have let Bubich start the seventh inning. I didn't know if it was a hamstring, if it was an ankle, but Paul Hoover telling Annie Rogers after the game, it looked like a cramp for Carlos Hernandez. So I don't know how concerned we need to be or just truly how thin this bullpen is. From the 913, simply put, no offense, and Vern, it's pathetic. That wasn't fun to watch, that's for sure. Had opportunities. Vinny Pasquantino on base three times today. His second multi-hit game of the season. Vinny has now reached base safely in 27 of his last 29 games. But the Royals dropped the finale in San Francisco, 3-1 the final score. We'll take another dive into that text line and get back to your phone calls after this.
Welcome back to Vern's postgame show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
3-1 the final score. Royals drop the finale in San Francisco, take the series, but head to Texas with a record of 3-7. Phone lines are open for you. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals score in the fourth. Salvi with a two-out RBI single. Giants score three runs in the eighth inning to steal this one. All three runs coming across to score with two outs. One-out single from the Giants' nine-hitter. Two batters later, Wilmer Flores laces a double down the left field line, and Brian Johnson, the number nine hitter, scores from first. Nate Eaton plays the ball off the wall in foul territory down that left down that third base line. Nate Eaton plays the ball, carom off the wall, and man, if he could have taken another breath, really gotten his lower half into it, I think he would have been able to get Johnson at the plate, but he kind of rushed the throw. It was offline. Johnson slides in to score the game-tying run. Five pitches later, Ryan Yarbrough leaves a slider up to Michael Conforto. He does not miss it. His third home run as a member of the San Francisco Giants. That's a two-run bomb. That's your ball game. 3-1. Giants win. 913-586-7610. Let's go back to the text line. Derek in Rayville. Vern, a lot of positives today. At the rate we're going, I don't know if Daniel Lynch is going to have his spot in the rotation when he returns. Well, Derek, that would be a terrific problem to have, wouldn't it? Right. You hope Daniel Lynch is ready to go by the beginning of May. And you hope everyone else in the rotation remains healthy at the beginning of May. But I hope that's the case. I hope Daniel Lynch is ready to come back and the Royals don't have a spot for him. Maybe he's got to make one additional rehab start in Omaha, and we'll see what the rotation looks like come May. That would be a terrific problem to have. You got so many above average starting pitchers. I never would have guessed that. But that's baseball. Always making you look like an idiot. From the 913, Vern, was that analytics taking Bubich out in the seventh? At 76 pitches, why not leave him in when he's picking guys apart? Again, guys, I'm still learning, always evolving. And we know that this organization, that this coaching staff has made as much of a commitment to the numbers and playing the percentages and trying to win in the margins. They've made as much of a commitment to it as they possibly can here in 2023. But if it's me managing, I'm go back out there. Bitch, you kidding me? You're three over the minimum through six innings. You're at 76 pitches. You went 88 pitches in your last start. Yeah, I'm running them back out there. I would guess it's analytics, because it's certainly not eye test. The guy he was going to face, J.D. Davis, the cleanup hitter, was 0-2 with a punch out and a ground out. Instead, they go to Carlos Hernandez, and the Giants go to their bench, bringing in Jock Peterson and Lamont Wade. They were still unable to do any damage against Carlos Hernandez, didn't do any damage against Ryan Yarbrough in the seventh. But when asked by Andy Rogers and I believe it was Scott Chasen of the Kansas City Star inside that Giants clubhouse, when asked about pulling Bubich after six, acting manager Paul Hoover said, Bubich did his job. We view the bullpen as a strength of ours. And we were going Hernandez, Yarbrough, Barlow. It was all lining up for the Royals until that three-run eighth inning. Now his response isn't analytics. His response is the same thing I've heard Mike Matheny say, same thing I've heard Ned Yost say, same thing I've heard Jim Leland say. Chris Bubich did his job. Six innings of shutout baseball, two hits, no walks. He did his job. Bullpen, hold it down. Hey, offense, how about you scratch across a run or two and help this dude out? You know, that makes what Bubich did even more impressive. the fact that he had absolutely zero wiggle room. Nice little concoction this 2023 season for Chris Bubich. From the injection of confidence internally, the injection of confidence from the external, from the coaching staff. I've mentioned this throughout spring training. I heard Steve Stewart bring it up earlier today as well. The implementation of the pitch clock is really going to help these thinking pitchers, guys like Daniel Lynch and Brad Keller and Chris Bubich, who sometimes get in their own heads and overthink and get a little too negative and let those bad thoughts creep in. And when you got 15, 20 seconds to throw the ball, those voices, more times than not, cannot take over inside your head. So you mix all that together and you throw in now 3 years of experience. Maybe we are about to see a big step forward from Chris Bubich. Maybe he is going to follow the path of Brady Singer. Keep in mind, Bubich a year younger than the rest of those 2018 draft picks. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's also the text line number. Riley in Lackawanna writes in, Vern, I don't have anything bad to say. I'd love to see more runs, but I said it last time out. Bubich looks comfortable. Seems like he's starting to believe in his own ability. It's good to build on. Yeah, well said, Riley. I think a lot of us learned about body language from the years of watching Rex Hudler on television. We've all learned the game from Denny Matthews, listening to him on the radio. Man, Chris Bubich is kind of the mixture of both. You watch him, you listen to the broadcasts of his game, and you know, sometimes you don't even need to know the results. You just watch him on the hill, and you know how he's performing. Certainly looks to be a much more confident Chris Bubich. We're two starts in. Hopefully 28, 29, 30 more forthcoming, and hopefully that confidence remains. 913-586-7610. From the 785, Vern, disappointing loss today. And yes, this offense is still struggling. Maybe a 3.8 to 4 run per game type of offense this year, Vern. But shoot, if the starting pitching is going to be like this all year, sign me up. Well, that was a roller coaster of a text. Yeah, look, hey, like I said to CJ, If this is the real Royals pitching staff, well, I'm not worried about the offense in the least bit. And I was 100% wrong that the offense was going to need to be the dominating force of this team. I've been wrong before. Maybe I'm wrong again. Following the game, Paul Hoover, bench coach, acting manager, was asked by Annie Rogers of MLB.com just how tough it is to lose a game that seemed to be yours. You were four outs away from picking up your, third W as the acting manager. The team was about to improve to 4-6.
Oh, super. I mean, you get an effort like that, it's you hope. I mean, you obviously have a chance to win, but the bullpen's our strength. We relied on it, and today the other team made the adjustments.
Okay, so you and I know the pitching staff didn't lose this game. The offense needs to scratch one of those leadoff men on in the final three innings, needs to scratch one of those three across. It is interesting to hear him once again. Bullpen is the strength. I hope so. I hope it's the strength, because if the bullpen's the strength, that means the rotation is strong. So let's hope the bullpen is the strength. Another question about Daniel Lynch, who leaves the rotation when he returns. Man, I hate to sound like a company man, but we'll see. Because right now, nobody's out of this rotation. Not taking Brady. You're not taking Zach or Jordan Lyles out. You saw what Chris Bubich just did. And I don't think you're taking Brad Keller out of the rotation. 5 2/3 innings of one-run baseball against the Giants back on Friday. From the 913, Vern, everything's not going to be all right if the pitching continues like this. Ask Zach Greinke in his Cy Young year. Vern, didn't we lose 100 games that season? You want to know why? Because we couldn't score runs. Okay. Did the Royals lose 100 games? I would... No, they didn't. They, 97. They lost 97 games. Zach Greinke had a war north of 10 in that 2009 campaign. No, but I understand your point. But I think you're missing what we're talking about. This isn't, Michael and the rest of the Jackson 5. It's not Zach Greinke and who else was in that 2009 rotation? This isn't Zach Greinke, shout out Luke Hochhaver, Brian Bannister and Kyle Davies, Gil Mesh. Bruce Chen and Rob Tejada making starts. Lenny DiNardo got 5 starts for that team. Who is Lenny DiNardo? Shout out Lenny DiNardo. That's not what we're talking about. That 2009 rotation wasn't top 5 in baseball. I'm not saying this year's team is going to be top 5, but through 10 games they are. 5th best ERA in Major League Baseball. So yeah, I'll say it again. If this pitching continues, don't worry about the offense. The offense will come around. Now, if you don't believe this pitching will continue, okay, then yeah, we can zero in on this offense and say, come on, Bobby. MJ, I need the punch-outs are starting to worry me. Now, Massey, I need you to get to a place where they're not pinch-hitting for you. If you don't think the pitching's going to continue, well, then yeah, you should be concerned and focused on the offense. This isn't a one-man show right now with this Royals rotation. Everyone is contributing. From the 316, Vern, you're absolutely right. Royals win that one today, and I tell you, we would have a fired-up post-game show. But I'd rather lose with a dominant Bubich than win with a shaky one, at least for now. Well, that's put in an interesting way. You know what? I think I agree with that. Oh, boy, that's tough to say 10 games into the season. Right? Because we're focused on competing and winning division titles and making a run at the wild card. Why not? You're 10 games in, crazier things have happened. But boy, when you put it that way, again, let me read that. I'd certainly rather lose with a dominant Bubich than win with a shaky one. That's an interesting debate. I can see both sides on that one. Joey in Grain Valley spreading some more cheer towards Chris Bubich. Scott in Phoenix writing in. As exhilarating as yesterday's win was, Vern, that's how frustrating today's game. We should be talking about what a great outing Chris Bubich had, but instead, we're grousing. I don't know that word. We're grousing about numerous missed opportunities by the offense once again. If I never see Reyes or Bradley at bat with runners in scoring position again, I'll be very happy. Speaking of Bubich, I thought he could have started the 7th inning again. That signed Scott in Phoenix. Scott, always appreciated. I'm not as disappointed as you are. Not as disappointed as you know because of what Chris Bubich was able to do. Now, Bobby striking out there in the 8th. MJ and Bradley unable to advance the runner there in the 8th. Yeah, that was frustrating. But man, I was on such a high watching what might be the best performance Chris Bubich ever has as a big leaguer. I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's the beginning of a special season. But to have 12 swings and misses in the first 3 innings, striking out a pair of hitters with your curveball in the first, getting them with your changeup and your slider in the second, getting them with 2 guys with fastballs in the third. You got a curveball strikeout in the 5th, another changeup puts wins away in the 5th. Get Wilmer Flores staring at a slider in the 6th inning. I mean, this guy had it all working today, Scott. Always appreciate the text messages. 913-586-7610. That is the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. It stays open, So keep it coming for the guys in the morning. Fesco in the morning tomorrow beginning at 5:58. Tomorrow night, it's a three-game series with the Texas Rangers, kicking off with Zach Greinke squaring off with Andrew Heaney. That's game one. Game two, Tuesday night, Jordan Lyles and Jacob deGrom meet up. And then Brad Keller and Nate Eovaldi, a pair of right-handers, go at it in the finale coming up on Wednesday night. So it's three night games, 7:05 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 6 o'clock. Thanks to Jed Marshall for the help back at the studio. Thanks to Chris Bubich for forcing Royals fans. Actually, I don't know if he did that. Did he force you to talk Royals baseball tomorrow at work? I think they needed to win it. Think they needed to sweep them in order to do that. We'll talk about it more on Fesco in the morning. I'll talk to you at 8:30 tomorrow morning. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, Kansas City.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern show.